Well, praise the Lord. It is good to be together again. I don't think we realize many times just how much we need the Lord and the fellowship of His people. And I just praise Him this morning for His faithfulness to us when we are in such need. You know, I guess funny how it is, how the Lord expects me to walk in what I preach. But anyway, you know, most of the times when I come in here, I'm saying, Lord, is this really you? And you're just going to have to take over. So that's certainly where I'm at. But, you know, I always have to go back to what Paul went through. And I'm certainly no Paul, but the principles apply. That Paul reached a time when he was weak and being oppressed of the enemy. And yet the Lord told him the answer wasn't getting rid of the enemy. The answer was leaning on my strength, because my grace is enough. I will give you enough. I mean, that was quoted this morning. And so that's my hope, and I think that needs to be every one of our hope. We just need to realize the way things are. You know, it seems like every year we come into convention, and you can almost see the devil saying, wait a minute, we got a convention coming. It's time to everybody to get going, every spirit, work on every victim that you've been assigned to, and you need to start pushing their buttons, and you need to really bear down, and let's get them so entangled in whatever their weaknesses are that they just aren't really spiritually ready and free. Of course, that applies to nobody, right? Yeah. You know, I appreciate so much the gathering we had Wednesday night, and I especially appreciate Scott's contribution. You know, he asked special prayer for a weakness, something that he tended to go through in his life a lot. Don't have to go into the details. I don't think he'd mind, but still. You know, I appreciate the honesty and the reaching out. But, you know, as I listened to him, my reaction was, well, there isn't a person here that if we were honest, we couldn't say the same thing in one area or another. It might not be the same thing, but there are ways that the devil knows how. He knows how to push our buttons. He knows how to oppress. He knows how to work on weaknesses that he's probably cultivated there to begin with, regardless of whether they're, you know, things like fear and anxiety, or whether they're lusts or you know, what we call besetting sins, recurring. But the devil knows how to push our buttons. And as I thought about this and thought about, you know, the way the enemy comes at me when we come into a meeting and I suddenly feel, you know, I feel pressure, I feel weak. There, you know, if I went by how I felt, I would just go somewhere. Nobody knows exactly, right? Nobody ever feels that way. But the reality is this is the way it is, and God wants us to help, wants us to understand some basic things that we've talked about so many times. That's another reason, another thing I fight when I come in here. Lord, we've talked about this all the time. It doesn't make any sense to just regurgitate. But we don't need regurgitation. We need the Lord to speak what's relevant to the need right now. And somehow I feel like this is. And the word that came to me was overcoming. And how many of you know that that's what the Christian life is about? Is about overcoming. And I thought, I don't want to get into the details so much of this, but you know, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we have letters from Jesus to churches. And each church was in a particular situation. The need was a little bit different. And yet there were some common themes, weren't there? You know, he went to the church, wrote to the church in Ephesus, and boy, they had it all down, didn't they? I mean, they were believing all the right stuff, they were doing all the right stuff, but there was a problem, wasn't there? And the Lord pointed out, you lost your first love. And you see what the Lord was focusing on, how the enemy had actually fooled the people into thinking that if I just keep doing the right things, and I'm not wavering in my beliefs, I'm still doing everything I'm supposed to do, that everything is good. And how easily does a relationship become religion? when that happens. And so there's a danger that the Lord wanted to specifically point out in that church and say, you know, you got a need here. I want this to be a personal one-on-one relationship with me so that what you do is not done out of a heart of duty or habit, but there is a genuine love that's going back and forth between us. And also, I want to shed that life, that love through you. And if you're leaving your first love, you know, my biggest commandment to you is what? Love one another. Well, how do we do that? We're going to have love that doesn't originate in us. It's going to have to come from the Lord Himself. It's going to have to be able to flow into our hearts, and then our focus is going to have to be on others so that it can flow out to others. So you see where the Lord was putting His finger on a particular need, and there was a particular word that they needed. They just didn't need, you know, well, okay, now we're on page such and such of our theology book, and let's not forget how we do church. God was always very specific. And so, of course, He comes to the end, and whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then there's promises to the one who is, in this translation, victorious, but the original word obviously is the same. The one who overcomes, the one who's victorious, and then there are promises that God gives. This is the focus. And of course, you know, very quickly, just running through what these churches went through, the second one actually was doing everything right. There wasn't any focus on, hey, you're messed up here, you're coming short here. Rather, they were in a place of persecution. And so God gave them words of encouragement. I know how you stood your ground, and guess what? There's more coming. God's going to kill some of you. And the Lord was giving them a word of encouragement, but then a promise. You know, hear what I'm saying, and to him that overcomes, there's a great promise and a great hope. All right? And, of course, the next one, you had some people there that were, they'd experienced some persecution, and then some of them had the goods, but, boy, there were some problems there, weren't there? You had some people that had all kinds of false motives and false doctrines. We're not going into the details. It was leading people astray. It was trying to inject into the gospel a compromise with the flesh and with human ambition, whatever it was. I'll tell you, if we're not careful, the devil will soften the gospel, will misdirect it, will inject his ideas into it, and it really won't be the Lord. And all of a sudden, instead of serving him, we're serving us. And so he was warning them and warning them to repent. There was a real sin here. There was a real need in the church, and the church wasn't facing it and dealing with it. Okay? And then he says, you know, repent. There's a call to repent. And then whoever has ears to hear, and to the one who is victorious. You have that same element in every one of these letters. There's something to overcome here. Okay? And then the next one, the church of Thyatira, had kind of a similar thing. You had a woman who had somehow styled herself as a prophetess. Where do you suppose she got her inspiration from? And she was, again, injecting something into the gospel, but there probably was a supernatural element. Oh, my God, this lady's, it's not just her. There's something supernatural behind it. It must be God. Oh, we need to seek the one who is the head of the church. And we need to have ears that are willing to hear his voice. Because his voice there was no compromise in the voice. I've called on her to repent. She hasn't. I'm going to put her in a bed of suffering. I'm going to deal with this. My judgment is coming. And there's some of you that haven't gone along. You hang on. You hold what you got. But there was a real need of overcoming in that particular context. And of course, then you had one that... There was a church that had a reputation for being alive, but they were dead. I wonder how much of religion, Christian religion, that applies to. God help us. So there was a need there. There was a need to wake up, strengthen what remains. Now, the only way the Lord could have said that was if there were some of his people there, and there were. And so God was calling upon them to wake up. You suppose that might just be appropriate? Everything about the spirit of this world is going to put us to sleep if we let it. And listen to the promise of God. Let's see, remember? All right, actually it's a warning, but there's a promise built into it. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. But what's the promise that's kind of baked into that? If you do wake up, and you walk with, and you're in tune with me, that my coming's not going to surprise you. Isn't that what Paul said? But my coming that day will not surprise you like a thief. That doesn't mean we're going to know the day and the hour. But I'll tell you, God's people that are in tune with Him, isn't that a theme you get throughout this? You better be in tune and listening. I want you to have ears that are constantly tuned to heaven so that I can talk to you about what's needed right here and right now. Because there are things that I have allowed in your path that need to be overcome. Okay? So anyway, so there's a word of encouragement and warning and all baked into one. And so he's encouraging those who haven't gotten in that condition. All right? I've got promises for you. Just listen. The one is victorious, and then there are promises about that. Church of Philadelphia, they were doing good, basically. They were the church of brotherly love. That's what the word Philadelphia means. And he says, you have little strength. So this wasn't even the people who were just, hey, you guys are strong. This was, you have little strength. But yet there was a word of encouragement, wasn't there? You ever feel that way? I just don't have what it takes. Lord, I'm just so weak. Every one of us, if we're honest, we feel that way because it's the truth. And yet here's the Lord giving them a word of encouragement. But what they have done with the strength that God has given them, they have stood fast, they have faced persecution, they face slander, they face whatever the enemy has thrown against them. And the promise is, you endure patiently, I'm going to keep you from the hour of trial. I'm going to be with you to the end. Remember that was said this morning? I'm going to be there. There's a lot of things going to happen, but don't worry, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Okay? The one who is victorious, I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God, and so forth. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And then, of course, the Laodicean church, who had gotten to the point where they were doing everything right outwardly. They had it all, but they were in a prosperous situation. Do you see the wisdom of God in putting us in situations where we feel our need? What happens when the Lord allows the sun to shine and the bank accounts to be full and everything, business is great? How does that help spiritual progress? It doesn't do it. It causes us to go to sleep. And so the Lord is warning them. You are going through a form. You're more in tune with what your natural being wants in this world. That's what's in control of your life. You're still going through doing all the right things, but your heart's not really warm toward me. You're in danger of just falling away completely from being even my people, from my church. Now, we're not talking about people that really know the Lord, you know, losing their salvation. I'll tell you, there's something that happens when someone's born of God. But still, you got a lot of people that can gravitate to a church and to a religion, and it becomes religion. But anyway, think of the common elements in this. In every situation, there was a word about overcoming. Everyone. Some of them had sin. Some of them had pressure. They had, in this case, it was prosperity they had to overcome. Everyone had something that they needed victory over. They needed to overcome. What does that tell you about and remind you about the kingdom of God and living in this world? There will always be something to overcome. We will always have adversity. And this is where, how often do we talk about this? But that's one of the things that God wants us to realize. And yet, you see, the situation in every case was different. And somehow that just resonated with me because, say what Scott was talking about, there certainly were probably others that experienced some of the same things, but the reality is every individual Christian is different in that regard. We are very unique. We're different from one another, and yet every one of us in this sense has to deal with something. Okay? So what are we dealing with? Think of the scripture that we so often use in Revelation 12, verse 11, I believe it is, when it talks about the devil who was defeated. Thank God for that defeat, that great defeat, but he's still here working, isn't he? We're here, and he's in the world, and he's working against us. And so how does that victory happen? It happens because of the blood of the Lamb. Thank God that we do have a place, that there was a significance to the blood that was shed there. And if we have gotten grounded in our thinking that my standing before God is not based upon me, it's based upon that, and I'm standing there. I'm believing it. I'm actively believing it. I'm not acting as if it isn't really true for me. I'm constantly looking to that. Now, that doesn't mean I'm looking to that and trying to live my own life and figuring that's going to take care of it all. You understand? That's not victory. That's not what he died for. But anyway, the blood gives me a place to stand. And then the word of the testimony that we've talked about so many times, that's when the truth of God enters into our heart and mind in such a way that it displaces the lies of Satan. Satan will always tell you something. He does me. There's always going to be something that he's going to put in there. And God wants the truth of his word, the promises of his word, to become such conviction that we can do the same thing Jesus said, it is written. All right? But the third part is really where I'm going with this. And they love not their lives so much as to shrink from death. Now, this is something we've certainly said many times. My enemy, my biggest enemy, is not the devil. If I did not still have in this earthly body a nature that hates God and wants its own way, Satan would have no power over me. You know, when Christ comes, let's suppose Satan is around after that for some reason. But when Christ comes, we'll be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this old body will be done away with. We'll have one that is only filled with his life. Do you think Satan would have any opening to get into that? No. It's while we're here living in this. So the issue is not Satan. It's what's in here. Do we hang on to what's part of our old life? And that's what the Lord's seeking to deal with. In every circumstance that comes our way, every test, the only reason Satan has any access to bring us into a place where we're defeated, we're sidetracked, whatever it is, whatever the effect is that makes us less than effective, it all comes from in here. And of course, I'll remind you what we've talked about so many times, what Jesus said in his testimony when he came to the cross. The prince of this world is coming. He knew it. God was allowing him to do his thing. And of course, he deceived himself and, you know, wrecked his own chances. Thank God for the victory that God had purposed. But the point Jesus was making is the prince of this world is coming, but he has no hold on me. That's the key. I have been tested. Was he not a tested stone? He came down here and experienced the same flesh that you and I have to deal with. But God gave him the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom to learn how to say no and to recognize what was going on. Satan is trying to appeal to me to put this first, to seek what my flesh wants. It could be pride, it could be physical lust, it could be a gazillion things that all come from this nature. But Satan did not have any hold on him, and he had tested him. He had looked everywhere, put Jesus under a microscope. And did that mean, by the way, that he didn't still have something to overcome? Obviously, he had the cross. And he had to go to the Lord, and he had to go to his Father and get strength. Strength that beyond anything you and I will ever need. Thank God that he went there. Thank God that even in that test. See, this was that garden experience happened after Jesus had said that. And yet there he was under a tremendous assault of the enemy and having to say, Father, not my will, but yours be done. There was still a sense of having to stand and having to overcome. Praise God. And thank God he overcame. Praise the Lord. In fact, isn't that what Jesus said in the world? You will have trouble. But cheer up. I have overcome the world. When did he say that, by the way? That was before the cross, wasn't it? He hadn't even gone to the cross yet. Boy, I'll tell you, there's a faith, there's a confidence in the purpose of God. Can we put ourselves in God's hands and know how it's going to turn out? Isn't that the message of the gospel? It's not, here, you know, I'll get you started, there's the road, go for it. And we'll see how you turn out. This is, I'm putting myself in the hands of an eternal God who has already planned everything from the beginning to the end. So this, whatever I'm feeling right now, I need to be able to look beyond that, don't I? Praise God. You know, I was, my Bible reading right now, and Ron's, I guess, too. Ron, if you're listening, we're reading in Solomon right now about Solomon's building the temple, and he goes into great detail about every element of the temple, the decoration of it, the forming of it, the craftsmanship that went into it. And it took, 7 years to build? This was no small project. This was an amazing thing. I think the whole thing, if you add all the extra rooms, it's just slightly bigger than this church. The whole thing. The inside of the temple was narrower, but the whole, with all the side rooms and all the outside front, it probably would have gone from that wall at least to the end of our overhang in the front. So that's a rough idea. But it was the craftsmanship, the gold, the carvings, everything was just amazing. But you know, I was thinking about this because that's not, ultimately, that was a picture of something. That was not the temple. That's not really where God was interested in dwelling. Where is he interested in dwelling? Us, isn't it? Are we not being builded together? For what? What reason? God is looking for a place to live. He wants a house. He doesn't need to go to some realtor somewhere. He's building his own house. But think about what went into the temple. Every little piece had its own design. It was shaped to be exactly what it was, to fill its place. The craftsmanship that went into it, the gold that was overlaid so much of it. Do you not see a little bit of a picture of what God's doing in us and how individual all of this is? There was a uniqueness to everything that went into that temple. Yes, there were several of certain things, but I mean, basically, every part of it was designed by a master craftsman. Does that sound familiar? We're saved by faith, by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not based on works, not on works. Why? So that we can't boast. But then what does it say? We are his workmanship, the craftsmanship, I guess, whatever different translations say this, basically convey the same thing. There's a master craftsman at work in your life and mine. Do you suppose that he knows the depths of what's going on in every life? Do you think he knows what needs to happen and how to shape? You know, some of the things that were involved in shaping those elements of the temple had to do with chipping stuff away and getting rid of it. Of course, we love that, don't we? Not that, Lord. Wait a minute. He says, you love not your life to the death. I wonder how many things in our lives we are so attached to to that really aren't from the Lord and they aren't serving His purpose. But we have been so groomed, you know, you're familiar with that term in modern culture, how we've been kind of programmed, is another word, from our youth. The devil has sized us up in our personality and our circumstances, and he has done everything he can to inject his ideas and to play upon our weaknesses and to get us used to thinking and acting a certain way. God's got a job on his hands. Do you suppose he's up to it? But do you suppose it's so simple that we just say, oh, no problem. I believe in Jesus. All is good. No, God's got a job on his hands to fix me and to actually change me so I can be a part of a place that God can live in? Whoa. He's got a job on his hands, doesn't he? But is he faithful? Is he able? Thank God. There's so much that he needs to work on. And I was thinking about how, regardless of where you're at and what the need is, everything that God allows in our lives, whether it has to do with the pre-convention time and all the pressures that come and all the distractions that come, whatever it is, we have a God who's able to look down into the depths of every life. He knows what we need. Loves us enough to do something about it. And in every case, the way to deal with it, God puts something in our pathway. He allows the enemy to push on that thing. Are there recurring issues in your life? Are you somebody that struggled with fear all your life? Many people that would apply to. I won't look for shaking heads on that one, but am I, you know, we all have a certain amount of that. But the other, you know, I mentioned too, what about the besetting sins? Are there things that the enemy has just programmed into your nature just enough that you keep doing, you keep falling into that? It could be anger, but it could be a fleshly thing. It could be all kinds of things. And the enemy just knows how to push the buttons, how to arrange the circumstances, and you get in a place where you feel oppressed. And somehow there's a weakness just to give in to that. And, oh, my God, I did it again. God, help me. And he does. But what, you know, why would God literally allow the devil to keep pushing that button? Does he want us to, is it because he wants us to fail? Or does he want us to learn how to overcome? See, in many instances, overcoming means I need to get rid of that. God needs to lift me to a place of victory, so that's not part of my life. That doesn't rule over me. That's the issue. If what rules over me basically is coming from my old nature, I need some deliverance. And God's going to keep letting the enemy, in recurring ways, keep pushing that and trying to work on that. And God's aim is that I learn to overcome. And there are great promises. And God wants to bring us to a better place. What a dangerous prayer it is when we say, Lord, I want higher ground. Lord, I want you to use me. Lord, I want you to make a difference in the kingdom through my life. I think you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Some of you prayed that. And you said, oh, Lord, I didn't know it meant this. But the thing is, if God doesn't deal with this old nature, our lives, what John calls our lives in Revelation 12, that we're loving so much, and we're still attached to more than we know. If God doesn't break those connections, how effective are we going to be? I mean, Paul recognized that it's kind of like an athlete. Now, the earthly athletes, they're going for a prize. They're, you know, they're disciplining their body and they're doing all these things because they want a prize. Well, I want a prize too, but it's not that kind. I want to go for the ones the Lord offers. He's called me to seek after something that's eternal. But how can I do that if there isn't some self-discipline? And so he actually, in the Greek it says, I beat my body, or I keep it under, in one translation. Or I'm in charge, my body isn't. I keep that under. I recognize that there's impulses that come from my flesh that if I just let them go, if I somehow, that's okay, it's all taken care of. And the Lord's wanting to deliver. And the Lord's wanting to actually break that hold and break that tie. But Paul says, I beat my body and I make it my slave, I think in this translation. I bring it under subjection. I make it my slave. Is your body and its impulses your slave to serve God? Are you in charge or is it in charge? And the Lord's going to bring us into circumstances that kind of help us to see. And in every instance, is the Lord's purpose to defeat us and make us feel discouraged? I think you know that's not the case. But I just pray that God will help us in these areas, because many times overcoming does mean I need to be free from that. It's a weight that I need to lay aside, as Hebrews 12 says. It's something that has attached, is so attached to me that I can't run freely. I can't be what the Lord wants me to be, because that's holding on to me. And I need the Lord to cut that chain. So overcoming in that context means to get rid of that thing and to be able to say, I have the victory. Now, does that mean that in every case you're going to have this grand experience and suddenly it's going to be gone? No, more often than not, it's going to be a step-by-step, day-by-day looking to God and winning the victory. I've heard, I don't know how many testimonies of somebody that's been brought out of a terrible lifestyle. And there were aspects of that kept trying to intrude, and over time, sometimes over years, the Lord gave more and more victory, there was less and less of a hold. I believe God wants to get us to the point where we're looking ahead and we're looking up every time. We know we've got a place to go. Thank God. If we're struggling and there's something that's still got a hold and we mess up, thank God for the blood. Thank God for the cross. If we have a sin, if we sin, we have a place we can go. But there's a heart in that instance that in that situation that is in agreement with God. It says, God, I don't want to do this. Help me. But you know how the Lord helps us? Does he help us by just taking the thing away and we never feel the temptation again? No, he wants to build something in us that can withstand that. Does that mean we're going to have to dig down deep and find the resources to do that? Or does he say, no, you're going to have to come to me. It's going to be my grace. I'll give you what you need. But you're going to have to let go of your attachment to that thing. You're going to have to recognize it for what it is. You know, there's so many things that connected with this. One of the things I wrestle with is that sometimes I'll preach on a subject and it just covers the whole gamut. And I'm always asking, Lord, what's the focus here? Well, I think the focus really has to come down to where you and I are at individually. We're in a certain place in our journey. And the Lord is going to let adversity in some fashion come against you, and he's called us to overcome, to be overcomers. Okay, and I just gave an instance of something where overcoming means that's not part of my life anymore, because God has given me the victory. It could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be pornography, it could be a lot of things. But God wants us to have a freedom from that. And so, I guess where I was about to go with that is this. When the Lord was encouraging the churches, it wasn't just to him that overcomes, but it says, let him that has ears to hear. Do you have ears to hear? Is there something in you that says, regardless of what my circumstances are, I know that I need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches? It's not enough just to know the Bible. I've got to hear his voice, because I'm in a particular place in my journey. And just as the Lord's message to these churches was specific, to their particular need. God has words that are specific to your need and to mine if we're tuned in and ready to listen. Now, it's all often easy when we hear that to say, oh, I know what that's about. That means when I'm in a battle, God's going to give me a promise. Well, thank God that's part of it. Because God's going to remind me of his promises of grace and strength and help and so forth. That's part of it. But do you know there's another part? Do you know we need a deeper understanding of why the problem exists in the first place? Do you think God maybe needs to give us a little bit more of an insight into what's going on, what the real situation is down here? A lot of us deal with the oppression of the enemy, this recurring issue that I have, or I feel sorry for myself, or I feel, you know, whatever it is. And we get focused on that. But the problem is, why? We need to have a heart that allows the Lord to reach down into the depths of our being and show us those kinds of things and to have an honest heart about it. Because I need that, don't you? And so the Lord is wanting an honesty that looks to him and says, oh God, give me more understanding. Give me more wisdom in this thing. Think about David. And how many times that he would come to the Lord, and there was an honesty about him, wasn't there? How many times does he begin a psalm, and the psalm is, oh God, where are you? Oh God, I'm in a bad place. I'm struggling. This is going on. There was an honest heart. I don't see any place where the Lord rebuked him for that. Wouldn't that be a good place to start? I guess what I started to say a minute ago is a lot of times when we are experiencing some of these things, our tendency is to kind of, I'm okay. Everything's fine. Hope you are. And we're just, you know, we just put paste on a smile and pretend. When God wants to get down to the issues that are really operating in our lives and give us a degree of freedom that we haven't had. And that's why I appreciated what Scott said the other night, because there was an openness about it. And it's not that we have to get up here and everybody confess all these things necessarily, but we need to quit pretending. We can come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through, and I need help. And depending on the situation, you know, like I say, if it's a besetting sin, we need the Lord to go down in there and find out why. What happened? What's going on that we need to bring out and just bring it out and say, Lord, this is the way it is, and I need you to give me victory in this area. So, yes, it's the voice of God to give me the promises, but sometimes it's the voice of God to tell me the truth about myself. Wouldn't it be good to listen to that? Can we not trust somebody who loves us that as much as he's demonstrated? To know that he has our best interest at heart. Oh, how pride keeps us prisoners when the Lord wants to give us a degree of freedom. And of course, the other thing that, well, like I say, it isn't always making the thing go away. Sometimes it's simply strength to stand. Okay? Isn't that how it was in Paul's case, the Lord didn't take that spirit away. He didn't chase him away. But rather, you need this at this particular time. There's a spiritual need in your life that I want to deal with. You have a tendency to get proud, and I'm going to put you in a place where you just don't have the ability to be proud. You recognize your weakness, but don't worry, I'll give you the strength. So for him, overcoming was standing and continuing to believe God and continuing to trust God. Okay? You know, I thought of a scripture. There's so many scriptures, but I just thought of one that somebody may well have thought of, but it's in 1 John chapter 5, where John says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Now, where do we get faith from? Yeah, he's very willing to share that with us and to give us what we need. But faith is not simply, I believe this and I believe that, a mental thing. This is, God's going to give me something that I can do, something, some way that I can express that faith. Now, if I'm in a place where, let's say, I'm depressed, and the enemy is just oppressing my mind with all this is wrong, that's wrong, and somebody did this to me, and that, you know, and I feel bad, and on, we all experience those things from time to time. But if I'm sitting there, I can't remember where what I was starting to say, but anyway, praise God. There has to be a place where we're just not focused on that. Isn't that the natural human tendency? If I'm in a battle, my whole focus is the battle. Oh, poor me. I'm in a battle. Why me? Why me? Well, we know why. Because the Lord wants us to be overcomers. But if I'm focused on the battle, how is that helping me? There has to come a point where, yes, I need to be honest about the battle. That's wonderful. That's exactly right. I need to be honest about what's going on. But then I need to be able to turn to Him and find the strength that I need to meet that situation. See, faith doesn't just look at that and say, poor me. Faith has to say, God has brought this brought me to this place. And His purpose for me is to do something in me that isn't going to happen any other way. And I need to rise up and I need to exercise the faith, the strength that He gives me to look beyond that and to see enough about what it's about. What I'm supposed to do here is be thankful, for example, to praise Him, to look to Him, to have an expectation towards Him. Praise God. If I'm anxious, if I'm just overwhelmed with anxiety about all the things that might happen, oh God, yeah, we know we can pray. That's absolutely part of it. But think about scriptures that talk about casting our care upon Him. For He cares. But there's a scripture in Psalm 55, cast your cares upon God, and He will sustain you, uphold you, different translations. Anybody here need to be sustained? Yeah. So if somebody's doing that, what are they focused on? Are they focused on the problems? Oh my God, no. Okay, I got it. Here it is, Lord. I'm looking to You to give me the strength to continue trusting in You, believing in You, knowing that it's going to be okay, that I have all the strength that I need because it comes from You and You love me. You know, it's kind of almost become a joke, I guess. But the message I preached about getting your butts in the right place enters into it here, because there's a pattern again that you see in David where he is being honest and bringing his troubles to the Lord. The enemy has got him in a bad place and he knows it, and some of it's because he recognizes there's things in him that where he needs help. But over and over, that word but comes into it. And you find his attention shifting and saying, but I trust You, but I praise You, but I thank You. There's this turning of our attention to the Lord. And there's undoubtedly people here today that you're in a place where you're here and you're singing and you're smiling, and I believe you believe it, but yet you're being oppressed right now. You're in that place where you're feeling it. And God wants me and every one of us to be able to get our butt in the right place when it comes to these things. There's a place for recognizing needs. They need to be left on the other side of but. Because whatever follows but is what's really in charge. And if we ever find ourselves saying like the one psalmist did, surely God is good to Israel, but as for me, then we're in a bad place. You see, God wants us to get to that place where we can absolutely get our butts in the right place and leave all of these things on the other side of it, but turn our attention to Him and to His faithfulness and His promises. To God be the glory. God wants to be present, not just in convention time, but all the time. God wants us to enjoy His presence. But we cannot focus on the problem and on the battle to the point where we get our eyes off of Him and the victory that He's already won at the cross. That doesn't always mean the problem's going to go away. It means we have strength to bear it. Like He says in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, is it? There's strength to bear it, to bear up under it. I don't have to rely on my own weakness and my own strength because that's going to leave me in a bad place. Thank God. Well, I thought of one other scripture that probably needs to be put in here. And it's in Joshua chapter 1. Because the Israelites were facing some real challenges. I mean, you think about looking at a land and there were some walled cities and big armies. And among those armies, there were some giants mixed in. And they were facing some things that, from a human standpoint, were pretty scary. I don't know how many of you have seen that wonderful video of Asher acting out this verse. If you haven't, that's precious. Praise the Lord. But anyway, verse 9, have not I commanded you, be strong and courageous. So that's what we're supposed to be. Where do I get that from? See, that's my mental approach. That's how I see a situation. I don't look at the walls and the giants and the armies and say, oh my God, I'm in trouble. I look at that and I stand there and I say, yes, but God's with me. Okay? Be strong and courageous. Now, here's the other side, what you don't want to be. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Anybody, I won't ask you for a show of hands, but if anybody discouraged this morning because of what you're feeling and what you're going through right now, God doesn't want that for His children. If He has put you in a place where there is an oppression going on in your life, whatever form it takes, whatever the issue is, because we're all different, in one sense we're all different, God wants His people to lift up their eyes, to look to Him, to find the strength that we need, to be able to be courageous and to face something, to do the same thing that David did when he recognized the battle is the Lord's. And there he was in a humanly impossible situation facing a giant, and God gave him the victory. Praise God. Praise God. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's what the Lord is looking for from His people. Do you see that there's two things that you go back to the letters to the churches? God wants me to have a hearing ear. I don't need a religion to be handed down to me that I'm just supposed to observe. He wants me to have a relationship with God who's doing specific things in my life, dealing with needs, shaping me for His purposes. I need to be hearing what He's saying right now to me. I'm glad for what He said, but I don't live by bread only. I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And He's going to help me to understand what's going on in my life. Do you believe God wants you to understand, at least in whatever measure is right for His purpose? He wants you to have an understanding in me so that we can respond in the way that He's told us to respond. So praise God. But then what He's looking for, regardless of what the situation is, whether it's overcoming or repenting or from a sin, or whether it's standing in persecution, or whether it's just holding on to what you have until I come, don't you dare turn from that, because I'm going to be with you. Whatever the particular issue is in our lives, God wants to, one thing from us is to overcome, to be victorious. And He will give us what we need to simply stand fast and believe Him. The faith that He gives us will give us the victory. That just means continually. Now, what is my faith in? My faith is in my terrible circumstances. Things are so bad. Oh, my God. My faith isn't all. No, our faith is not in the storm or the problem. Our faith needs to be lifted to Him and say, God, You have got me here for a reason, and I love You and I trust You. And I know that whatever I need to be an overcomer in this circumstance, you will give me. Whether it's to make the thing go away or whether it's to stand fast in spite of the thing. God wants to get us ready, not just for a convention, but for everything. So that we can stand fast and be united. And you know, when you're focused upon you, you're not exactly focused on anybody else. One thing that would be good to remember is when we find ourselves in a place of oppression, that's we're just conscious of it. Oh my God, this is the devil's just pressing in on me. You're not the only one. It's like I said the other night, I was so conscious of that. Every person, every honest person there could have said the same thing. When I experience that, you are experiencing it, and I need to get my eyes off of myself and do some praying for you. Guess what? If I'm really from my heart praying for you, there's life coming from God into me and out of me to you. That's kind of a good thing for me too, isn't it? Because I'm getting washed with some of that same water of life that God wants to pour. So I believe the Lord wants to encourage His people today. What He's looking for is to be an overcomer. I don't know what the particular issue is. You have every right to go to the Lord and ask wisdom. Let Him look wherever He needs to look in your eye and your heart. Don't cling to anything from your own life, because if you hang on to that, the devil's always got a place he can grab a hold of and bring you down. But God has absolutely delivered us through the cross, but He sure wants our participation, doesn't He? He is faithful. So God is, we're called to be overcomers. I guess that's probably as good a title as anyway, called to be overcomers. I hadn't really thought too much about a title, but there's nothing new that I have said this morning, but somehow I felt like this was needed right now. I think the Lord knew that. Because no matter what we know up here, it's what we are experiencing in our actual, practical, everyday lives that really matters. What good is what we know in our heads if it doesn't make a difference in our lives? But I'll tell you, God is faithful. We're okay. We just need to start where we're at and look to Him. Don't need to beat ourselves up about where we're not. Just, this is where I'm at. And Lord, You brought me here and You're going to take me on. And You love me enough to talk to me, to help me to understand, to help me to reach up and find the help that we need. So to God be the glory.